Revelation chapter 13, we are continuing in our series that we have started on the mark of the beast and looking at the various signs that are all around us that are pointing to the validity of the Word of God. Now, we know the Bible is valid whether these things happen or not, but it is sure interesting, is it not, to see how things are stacking up all around us. And we want to look at God's Word again, reading verses 11 through 18 of Revelation 13. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh, now listen, maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. What does that hearken back to? The time of Elisha, the time in which fire came out of heaven, and he's going to be hailed as the new Elijah that would be able to do that kind of powerful miracle. Verse 14, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now that is how much rights will be eliminated in the future. And we're watching this take place. Even in our times where rights are being moved away, shifted away, taking them away, eroding them. And here we see here, if you don't take the mark, you deserve to die. Verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open our hearts to receive the testimony of your word tonight. Lord, we know that all of these things are still yet future, but we see the setting of all of these things happening in our time and the possibilities that are there of it happening very soon are real. Help us, dear Father, to be ready for your Son's return. Help us, dear Father, not to be fearful or praying that these things would not happen, but rather praying that your will would be done. Much different prayer. Help us, dear Father, to realize that these things will happen and many of them are beginning to happen. And so I pray that you'd work in our hearts that we might be faithful in witnessing of Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact with, because we want them to go to heaven. We desire for our friends and our neighbors to know Christ. Help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with them, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to pick up tonight where we left off last time as we consider the mark of the beast and the different things that are happening around us in this world today. I'm continuing on with some scripture verses here that are important for us to keep in mind as we study this subject. Number one, 1 John 2:18, little children, it is the last time. Not is going to be, it is the last time. Literally, in the Greek language, it's the last hour. That puts it in perspective. What is the doomsday clock that's been stuck at just a few seconds before midnight for the last three decades? Well, we're in the last hour. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby know that it is the last hour. We know that because there are many Antichrists in the world, many who claim to have power and might and wisdom. In every generation, you can find people with the spirit of Antichrist. We see that in another location in John, One day the Antichrist will rise to the center of the world stage. 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except what? There come a falling away first. Proton is the Greek word there. First in importance. First in order of operation. A falling away. There's not a person in this room that can honestly say, oh, we haven't seen any falling away taking place. Oh, we're seeing it everywhere. The falling away from truth. The shifting away from truth. Little baby steps at a time. Shifting away from the truth. And before long we look and we're way far away from it. That is a warning concerning the last days. There will be a falling away first, and that man of sin will be revealed. And of course, the man of sin is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalted himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing, proclaiming himself that he is God. That's not Satan. Satan doesn't sit on the throne. It's going to be the Antichrist who does that. And so with this understanding of what is going to happen, let's continue in our study of the Antichrist and the false prophet. The Antichrist will be the very incarnation of evil. Now, this is important to see. Cleverly disguised as a dynamic, charismatic, visionary leader. Isn't that what the world is looking for today? We want someone who's visionary, someone who's charismatic, someone who can deliver us from all the world's problems that are going on. His skills at problem solving will be very evident in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. He is going to work out a peace treaty with Israel. Just last week, we were listening to these terms of what the leader of Saudi Arabia said, that there are many open doors. Now, Saudi Arabia has opened up dramatically in the last 8 years. They now have golf. They're allowing women to drive. I mean, you look at all the things that they are doing. They're bringing sports into their country, which before was not even a possibility. And he says, I'm open to peace with Israel. Bret Baier went and interviewed Netanyahu, and he asked him, what do you think about the leader of Saudi Arabia and his projecting the possibility of peace? He said, it's wonderful. It's wonderful words to hear. And then what happens this week? We have the different groups trying to derail this whole possibility of peace. But Antichrist is going to bring it to fruition. And for 3.5 years, there will be peace with Israel. The Antichrist will break that peace pact in the middle. And the time of Jacob's trouble will begin in the latter part of the tribulation period. What's going to be happening? How close are we to Antichrist and his revelation? Well, I'm just going to put my opinion out there. I think we're closer than we think. We're much closer. Let me share with you why. Here's some things I put together. Number one, morally, now listen to me, morally, our understanding of right and wrong, good and evil, all right, has been eroded. We're calling evil good, and we're calling wrong right in these days. We are destitute enough to receive the evil Antichrist. Number two, technologically, we are where we need to be for Antichrist to do what he wants to do globally. You think about the fact, I converse with thing every week, several times a day, in real time. And he's on the other side of the world. That wasn't possible years ago. There are so many apps that are available where you can talk to someone on the other side of the world. We're able to talk to, our friends over in the Philippines. I talk to friends in different places around the world. We have universal communication Technologically, we're in a place where we can not only just talk to them, we can what in real time? See them. Look at them and be able to talk with them in real time. That was not available even 15, 20 years ago. Now it is, on an individual basis, not on a television setting, but on an individual basis with a handheld device, I can talk to anybody in the world and I can see what's happening. We were able to see visually what was going on in Israel within minutes of it happening, were we not? So technologically, we're where Antichrist can do what he needs to do globally. Economically, we're in trouble around the world with huge deficits, high inflation. Digital currency is being floated as the way to control inflation. Control the huge deficits. Digital currency is here and ready to consolidate global governance of finances. And believe me, that's where they're going to go straight to. They want to control your purchasing power. They've already floated this in the Biden administration. You know, we can control gun purchases if we have digital currency. We could just say, nope, block it. And you can go down there with a credit card and try to pay. Now, if we move away from cash, it doesn't matter how much you have in your mattress at home, because they're not going to use it anymore. You understand? So we're there. You're going to have to get rid of your mattress. Is that what you said? All right. Yeah, your high, you know, safety zone stuffed inside the mattress there. Number four, spiritually, the world is ready to accept and worship a man who promises and delivers peace and prosperity in the name of Christ. Anti-what? Christ. In the name of Christ. He will use this as the stepping stone. The false prophet will lead in the worship of this Christ. Spiritually, we're there. We see this massive shift today in acceptance of just about anything. We're ready for it. Socially, the world is interconnected in a way that it has never been in the past. We are now a full generation into sharing thoughts, opinions, images instantly with anyone in the world. Social media is extremely influential in the lives of world citizens. Everybody was concerned about TikTok last year. All right? TikTok is controlling. They're mining data. They're keeping track of you. They know what you're doing all the time. Who is they, by the way? China? Russia? They have control. We are so beholden to these nations. It's an easy switch to just put it into a global governance platform with Antichrist. And then six, religiously. We have been conditioned with group worship in concerts where people are told to do this and that. Everybody flows and moves into that. What is that? What is that? That group mentality that brings us into this worship setting where we all do the same thing. What are we being prepared for? Agreement, harmony, arrangement. Sounds eerily similar to what happened in Daniel's time when God shared with him the prophecy of future things. Here was this group setting and the pressure, peer pressure, of, all right, when the music begins, everybody does what? Falls down and worships the what? The image. Get the connections here. The image of Nebuchadnezzar. Not Nebuchadnezzar himself, but the image of him. And whenever the Hebrew children refused to do that, they were given a second chance. All right, we're going to do this all again. We're going to have the band play again. And whenever you hear that, you go down on your knees. The expectation was cooperation. Or what? Death. And isn't that the same thing that happens with the mark? You don't take the mark, you deserve to die. That's the whole point. And so when the Hebrew children were hauled up there to the furnace, God at that moment spared their lives as a witness. But we know in the book of Revelation that lives will not be spared, that people will die for their faith in Jesus Christ because they refuse to take the mark. And by the way, I'm just going to say this, music will play a huge role to bring everybody together. And I can prove it very easily. I'm watching football, and every few minutes, they're panning up into the press box, and who's up there at the Kansas City Chiefs games? Taylor Swift. And every few minutes, they're going back to her, and they're watching every movement that she's making, every hug she gives her future mother-in-law if they get married, and all that kind of stuff. This is just a musician. And all focus is put on them. This week, they've been harassed, the NFL, about that. It says, we came to watch a football game, and we're constantly seeing Taylor Swift. Why? She's a music icon. She's setting the standard for most people today in music. And I've heard this 1,000 times by the NFL commentators. Everybody loves her music. Everybody loves her music. Now, why is that? All right? She has become so popular with everybody. Music, as we've heard this before, brings the world together. You remember the old Coke song back in the late 1960s and early 70s where they were singing with the candles and the whole world was going to come together around Coke? All right? Well, then we had the Coke and Pepsi wars after that because Pepsi said, we can't allow them to have a song. Yeah, the music brought them together. Music has an ability to bring people together, and it's going to play a huge role in the future. And I believe that's why it's included in the book of Daniel in association with all the giving of the prophecies. This is the way that the false prophet is going to unify worship around a central figure, Antichrist. Number 7, politically, the world is divided. Divided more than ever before. Everyone senses that this division will be overcome with a complete capitulation to evil through manipulation and deception. We're seeing this all around the world right now. Deception, manipulation. You have to do this. Anybody that dares to talk against the populism of the moment is run down. Extreme MAGA. We hear that all the time. All in the media, constantly berating anybody that has a differing opinion from what they expect everyone to pull behind. However, this will also involve the targeted removal and slaughter of all those who refuse to worship the Antichrist by taking the mark of the beast. And there are several passages in Revelation that relate to this. Notice these things today. This was today on the Drudge Report. Israel war, first in 50 years, 600 plus killed, 2,000 wounded, mighty vengeance, Hamas rockets, breached dome. What's the next line? World divided. Here's another one from today. This is from the AFP International, the news. World divided on Gaza attacks. And there's probably a dozen more media outlets that had the same thing. World divided. Basically, it said the West is for Israel. Everything in the East is against Israel. They're cheering and ranting at how wonderful it is, the horrible things that were happening. This conflict right now in Israel is not just Hamas. It includes Hezbollah, and both of them are supported by Syria and Iran. You have to understand that. This is an international event that we are witnessing. So, what did they say? World divided in Gaza attacks. A senior advisor to Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, expressed support for the attack, calling it a proud operation. This was in the news today. World divided. How is the world going to be unified when we're so divided? There is going to be an individual Antichrist, and he's going to have a cheerleader, a worship leader, okay, the false prophet, and he's going to build him up as a unifier. A unifier. And the people will gather around and everyone will sing the praises of Antichrist, and they will join. There'll be songs written. There'll be all kinds of things, and people will unify together and consolidate around this global candidate. And people that don't vote for him, take the mark, are going to pay for it with their lives. Signs of the mark of the beast from Revelation 13. I'm going to share with you five. I'm only going to get to one tonight because our time is gone. Number one, satanic inspiration is a mark of the beast. Satanic inspiration. Where does the Antichrist, where does the false prophet get their power, everyone? Satan. Satan is a powerful being. He is the prince and power of the air. He took away the authority that was given to Adam when Adam disobeyed God and sinned. He gave up that authority and it was taken by Satan. And so Satan rules. We see this pictured in verse 2 of this passage of Scripture. In chapter 13, we see the pagan empires pictured there. We see a lion, a bear, a leopard, and an unnamed beast. And of course, these all four line up with the four beasts of Daniel. Exactly. There's no discrepancy between the Revelation account in chapter 13 and Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 9. Very clearly laid out. The beast out of the sea resembles these empires and therefore contains elements of each of these empires. It's interesting to me that in the last decade or so, there's been a renewed interest in Europe in reviving the Roman Empire. You understand that the Roman Empire extended all over Europe during the time of first century. It was everywhere, first, second, third centuries. The Roman power was extended all through Europe. To this day, they're finding Roman artifacts in England. I just saw this week, a man went metal detecting. I follow an individual that goes to England every year. And he looks for Roman coins, and he found six. All right? Hand-pressed Roman coins. Here he was in a field in England. You talk about the reach of the empire? Well, that's the picture that's given to us here, the revived Roman Empire. The beast out of the sea resembles all of these. The lion, the bear, the leopard, and the unnamed nation, which is the revived Roman Empire. Satan is behind it all. I want you to know that Satan is behind what's happening in Israel tonight. He is reviving hatred against the people of Israel, reviving hatred. And there's going to be a major catastrophic event that takes place at the beginning of the seven-year tribulation called Gog and Magog, we would call it one. Gog and Magog one. And it's going to be against the Islamic terrorists that seek to destroy Israel. God's going to rain down fire from heaven. He's going to defeat them, destroy them, and guess who takes credit for it? Anybody know? The Antichrist. See there, I protected Israel. I protected Israel. He takes upon himself this miracle that God performs for his nation, but he takes it and says, I'm the one that performed it. And this will set the stage for the peace pact. It'll set the stage for what's going to follow after that whenever the covenant is broken in the middle of the 7.5 years, 7 years. Folks, we're living in exciting times, are we not? Don't pray that these things won't happen. You will be praying against the will of God. Please understand, I've had more people come up to me in recent years. Boy, I'm hoping this is not happening. What? And I've challenged them. You're hoping that God's will not be performed? That's what you're saying. Don't pray that the Antichrist doesn't come. God says he's going to come. And when God says something, it happens. Don't pray against God's will. Pray for God's will to be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the testimony of your word. Lord, you share so many things with us in your word about the future. Our hearts are grieved tonight at the horrible things that are happening in Israel, but we know that it's all part of the the unfolding of your plan, the intense hatred of the Islamic nations for Israel will be played out in the future in an unfolding of hatred and torture and bombing and every kind of an imaginable horrible thing, and yet you will keep Israel. You'll protect Israel. You'll bring down fire from heaven to stop the enemies, but that will just be the precursor to the Antichrist taking credit for that. I pray that you would help us to understand and know that our lives in Christ Jesus are protected. Our lives in Christ Jesus are set for the future. And we rejoice in the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that you work in our hearts tonight. Help us to be faithful this week in sharing the gospel with those we come in contact with. Help us not to sit silently when a precious soul is near us that needs to hear of Jesus Christ. Help us to share the gospel with them because time is short. I ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.